say, Shri and Nita and Shari from the country Tanga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri and Nita Pradhana, she was the core of the Vrinda. That Advaita referred to there in that mantra, the Panchatattva mantra. That's a major acharya. So today is his appearance day, and therefore we planned in advance to have this program, this evening program, focusing on him. But then His Grace Bimal Prasad Prabhu, who some time ago, up until maybe 15 years ago, perhaps plus or minus, I forget, but maybe until 15 years ago or so, he was a member of our South African Yatra, and he was one of the first members, actually. He was, he joined, I think, in 76. He was first initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 77. Yeah. So he was really a very central figure in the development of Srila Prabhupada's movement here, but unfortunately he passed away. What was it? It was Monday, no, Tuesday.
Oh, it was yesterday. Tuesday.
David.
Well, it was 3 in the morning. Yesterday, then.
No.
Australian time.
The day before. We were at the program on Tuesday when on the announcement. In the Govindas.
We were?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. Sorry. Right, it was Tuesday. Passed away, so. See, he really did perform so much service here and was very dear to so many of the devotees. Those devotees from those days, and he really helped with Prabhupada's mission. So we're having a little memorial for him. That's his picture over there. You can see next on our right of Srila Prabhupada. Altar there with the candles is a picture of Bimal Prasad Prabhu. How many of you actually knew him personally?
I met him.
Huh?
We met with him.
You met. I see. Okay. Right, so first of all we'll read a little bit and talk a little bit about the Advaita Acharya. And then we'll say something about His Grace Bimal Prasad Prabhu.
Until what time should we continue?
I'm not sure it's Wednesday, Thursday program.
What time should we start?
8:15
with Advaita. Okay. Okay. All right, so Advaita Acharya, a member of the Panchatantra and incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, first of all, I'll read a couple of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. I read chapter 6, which is titled The Glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. So we'll read a couple of verses, read a few verses, and then we'll say some things about Advaita Acharya. So this is Adhileela chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 we'll read initially. Mahavishnur jagat karta maya riya srijat yada tasyagatara evayam Advaita Acharya Ishvara. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. So there we have, in a nutshell, the basic identity of Advaitacharya. Of course, he is eternally Advaitacharya because he's eternally in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. But in another context, at the same time, he's a special incarnation of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, who, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants to manifest the material world, he expands via Balarama, via Sankarsana. He expands as Mahavishnu, who's lying there in the material nature, the pratap, the unmanifest. Material nature in its most raw form. And then Mahavishnu, he glances over the material nature and impregnates the material nature with all the conditioned souls who have been within him from the distraction of the previous creation at the end of the universe, at the end of the whole cycle of creation. Everything's destroyed, living entities go to Mahavishnu. Beginning of the next creation, through his glance, they are placed into the womb of material nature. And then from the pores of his skin come the universes. And so they all go out, and the living entities are placed within the universes. And then they carry on with their lives from where they left off at the end of the previous creation. So that Mahavishnu, from whom all the universes come, and who is the resting place of the conditioned souls, when Lord Chaitanya appears, that Mahavishnu incarnates as a Advaita Acharya. So then, let us read another little verse here. It's the following verse 5. Advaita Harina Advaita Acharya Bhakti Shamsanat Bhaktavataram Isham Tam Advaita Acharya Ashraya. Because he is not different from Hari, the Supreme Lord. He is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So yes, just clarifying a little further. When it was time for Lord Chaitanya to appear, then Advaita Acharya, or Mahavishnu, he appeared first to prepare things for Lord Chaitanya. So he is Advaita, means the same as one with. Dvaita means two, Advaita means not two, just one. So he's same as the Lord, not different from the Lord. He is the Lord. But his particular role in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya is that he acts as Acharya, the great leader of the devotees. And he acts as a devotee. So he's Advaita Acharya. Not different from the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu. But at the same time, he's acting as a devotee, as a preacher, and a real spiritual authority. So he's also called Acharya. So, let me read just another couple of verses here, defining the nature of Chaya, just making it clear to us who he is and what his position is. I'm going to read same chapter 6 of the Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, verses 14 and 15. I'll just read the translation. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, nimitta, and the material cause, upadana, maya being the efficient cause, and pradana, the material cause, so Lord Vishnu's personality of Godhead assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. Now, if you have a little difficulty following exactly what he's getting at, don't worry, you are in good company. But basically, there are two aspects to the external energy, and let us just go on to the next verse, which makes it a little clearer and a little easier to understand. So, let's say, Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient cause of the material world, and Narayan, in the form of Sri Advaita, is the material cause. And next verse, Lord Vishnu in his efficient aspect, because there's efficient aspect and material aspect. Lord Vishnu in his efficient aspect glances over the material energy and Sri Advaita as the material cause creates the material world. Anyway, the basic idea is that Mahavishnu glances over the material energy we mentioned, injects the living entities into it, manifests the universes from his body, and then he, because these are the forms of Mahavishnu, then Advaita is the material cause and creates the material world, or in other words, after Mahavishnu, Lord Vishnu, has given the initial stimulus and got things rolling, injecting the living entities, manifesting the universes, then he, the Supreme Lord, in the form of Advaita Acharya, puts it all together. Make sure it all comes together from that initial manifestation, which is coming from Mahavishnu. How's that? Is that comprehensible?
The universes come. Some of them are contracting while some are going out. They don't all go in at the same time back to Vishnu, do they?
Do they all come in and go out at the same time? Is that?
Yeah.
Well, as far as I know, they do basically come in at the same time, more or less, and go out at more or less the same time. You know, Mahavishnu, this is all happening. Everything is manifest from him and then withdrawn into him in the period of time, according to his scale, of one breath, exhalation, inhalation. That's it. The whole material creation and everything, including us, it's all going on. in the period is exhalation and then in inhalation. And that period is roughly the lifetime of Lord Brahma. Actually, it's longer, but let's just say 311 trillion of our years, plus another 40 billion. That is the period of the exhalation and then inhalation of Mahajan. So, yeah, anyway, okay. Hare Krishna. So, and Vaishvacharya then, who is the special form of Mahavishnu, he appears at least a generation before Lord Chaitanya. I have not found, like we know Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486, our time, 1486 AD, as they say. Advaita Acharya appeared before that, plus or minus a generation, something along those lines. Because he was still present when Lord Chaitanya left this world. Lord Chaitanya was present here for 48 years. So Advaita Acharya, by the time Lord Chaitanya left this world, he must have really been quite elderly by material standards. So he appeared then in the Navadvip area, Navadvip Mayapur area. He appeared as the son of a devotee named Kuvir Pandit, whose wife, the mother of a major Acharya, her name was Nava Devi. And they were well-known devotees, members of the devotee and Brahmin community there in the Navadvip area. Advaita Acharya, as a small boy, he was not showing too much his exalted position. But to some degree, there are a few little descriptions, if I can just locate them here. A few descriptions of his childhood activities. Here's a couple of pastimes of Advaita Acharya as a youngster, still living at home with his parents, and fairly young. So, Advaita Acharya, like we said, his family was prominent, Brahmin family, prominent devotee family. They were well known, highly respected. And the king of the area knew the family and was close to the family. And the king's son, the prince, he was a friend of Advaita Acharya, and they would go places together. So one time, Advaita and the prince went to a temple of Kali. Kali is a very popular deity in that part of India. So they went to the Kali temple, and the prince reverentially bowed down before the deity of Mother Kali. But the Advaita Acharya didn't. So the prince became angry. That, why didn't you bow down? Who do you think you are? That sort of thing. And Advaita Acharya just looked him in the eyes and said in a loud voice, "Hari Bol!" This is what they said. In a loud voice, no, that. And the The prince fainted. The prince fainted. And could not be revived. So it's like a comatose condition of some sort. For some time. And the king heard about this. And the king became bewildered. My son, what has happened? And he came and he was just panicking and being disturbed in different ways. So Vaishnachari said, wait a minute. And went to a temple of Vishnu, brought some charanamrita, put it in the prince's mouth, and suddenly the prince just came back to consciousness like nothing happened. So anyway, Vishnu, the charanamrita, the liquids which have bathed the body of the Lord and flowed down over the Lord's feet and then captured, they're very powerful. But it also may have something to do with the fact that Advaita Acharya is very powerful, extremely powerful. So this happened. Another time, Advaita, there was some Kali festival they had, you know, different festivals. There in another area, I remember we were walking through Nandri and there were crowds. It was, I think, Durga Puja, Navratri, something like that. And people were telling us, don't go in the streets, it'll just be too wild. So we thought, oh, it's okay. So walking down the street, suddenly around the corner came a massive procession of floats of Kali and Durga. Wow, it was spectacular. And just roaring down the road in our direction. And one way they celebrate the festival there is all the men get drunk. And so you had all these dilly men running around in front of the different chariots going down with big Durga and just really fancy floats. And wow, what a... It was really different from Rathiatra. They were just sort of flying high, but in a very low way. So there was some Kali festival. And Advaita Acharya was there, and the king was there. And the king offered obeisances to Kali, and Advaita Acharya didn't. And the king said, why not? And Advaita Acharya said, I only worship the Supreme Lord. Anyway, the king got really angry, and he tried to debate. He really challenged the debater, and got really upset and told Kuvira, the father of the debater, look at your son, what sort of son do you have? So Advaita Acharya's father took him and said, come on. You must bow down in front of Kali. So Advaita Acharya said, all right. And he bowed down in front of Kali, and the deity exploded and just blew up in all pieces everywhere. You see, Advaita Acharya is very, very powerful. So as time went on, he grew up, he married, he had two wives. Sita Devi is the best known, but there was another one called Sri Devi. And as a great devotee, he was really manifesting as a great, great devotee. And he became the leader of the Vaishnava community in the whole Navadvipa Mandal area and even areas beyond that. So he really became an extremely important devotee. And many devotees gathered around him, and they would have programs every day and for hours and hours. They had Krishna conscious programs. However, at that time, in that area, Navadvipa area, and of course throughout the world, Kali Yuga was really setting in. And Advaita Acharya and the other devotees, they were really feeling anxious. What can we do? How can we help change the situation, help the people? Because everyone's just becoming degraded under the influence of Kali. And the devotees were saying, we need an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. And Advaita Acharya was such an incarnation, and of course he was aware of that. But still Advaita Acharya felt that things are so degraded, even I cannot rectify the situation and save all the people. Even I can't do it. Even though I'm Maharishna, we need Krishna. We need Krishna himself to appear in his original form. He is the only person who will be able to turn everything around and just deliver the world and deliver all the people. So, Advaita Acharya, he was thinking about this. And he was thinking, yes, it's true. We have to get Krishna to appear. So I am going to pray. I will try to get him to appear. I will appeal to him to appear. But how to do it? How will I really do something, appeal in such a way it will really make an impact on Krishna? And he will feel, yes, I must appear. So, he thought to himself, Tulasi Dalama Trena Jalasya Chulukena Va Vikriyate Swam Atmana Bhakte Vyo Bhakta Vatsama. Sri Krishna, who's very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers him merely a tulsi leaf and a palmful of water. So he thought, not finding any way to repay the debt he owes to one who offers him a tulsi leaf and water, Lord Krishna thinks, there is no wealth in my possession that is equal to a tulsi leaf and water. Isn't that amazing? Very amazing. And further he thought, thus, by accepting that, thus the Lord liquidates the debt by offering himself to the devotee. When the devotee offers tulsi and water, Krishna feels so indebted, he doesn't know how to reciprocate. So then he liquidates the debt he feels, the debt of gratitude for the tulsi and water, by offering himself to the devotee. So in this way, Advaita Acharya in his house, which roughly was near Shivasanya, if you're familiar with the area. Anyway, it was in, not far from Lord Chaitanya's house. He had two houses, one there in the Mayapur area and the other at Shantipur, which is some distance away, quite some distance away. So there, in his house, he began this program of offering tulsi leaves and Ganges water and praying to the Lord and crying out for Krishna to appear. And then Krishna, hearing those prayers from his beloved Avatarachaya, Mahavishnu, Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya. So anyway, this happened. Of course, nobody knew it, and at least on the surface, even Avatarachaya didn't really know it. If he did, he definitely didn't say anything until Lord Chaitanya manifested himself. I mean, started displaying the fact that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, but the Lord appeared in answer to Avatarachaya's prayers. So, Avatarachaya, he was a disciple of Mother Vendra Puri, who was the spiritual master of Ishvara Puri, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. So he was a disciple of Mother Vendra Puri, and he would have these programs, as we mentioned, every day for hours, amazing programs. And Lord Chaitanya had a brother, Vishnu. And that brother, old brother, he would go and attend the programs of Avatarachaya. And Mother Sachi, the mother of Lord Chaitanya and Mother of Vishwaroopa, she thought, this is okay, he's Avatarachaya, he's a good man. But through the potent preaching and all the kirtan and just the intense Krishna consciousness there at Avatarachaya's place, Vishwaroopa decided, I want to leave home, take sannyas, and just become a traveling mendicant. So one day, he did. He didn't say anything to anyone. He just went. And naturally, Mother Sachi got very upset. And, a little later on, she was harboring this sort of like transcendental grudge against Avatarachaya. And one time, a little later on, when Lord Chaitanya had manifested himself, and the kirtan pastimes were going on in Srinivas Thakur's house in the courtyard, Lord Chaitanya, understanding that Mother Sachi, there was a block there. There was something wrong inside of her because she had been thinking badly of the Avatarachaya. Lord Chaitanya told Mother Sachi, if you don't get the mercy of the Avatarachaya and get forgiveness from him, you will fall down and you'll stay in the material world. Anyway, she is Mother Yashoda, so the pastime of the Lord, but at least we can get some idea that it's extremely dangerous to even think badly of devotees. So during the kirtan, this was at Shiva's Thakur's house, The kids have just become completely overwhelming and ecstatic. Different devotees would faint and roll on the ground and things like that. One time the Vaishnacharya fainted on the ground. And Lord Chaitanya told his mother, "There you go." Gave the dust from his feet. So she did full dandavas. Bang. Right into his feet. And stayed there. And after a while, the Vaishnacharya came back to consciousness. And he was wondering, what happened? Who is this on my feet? But it was Mother Sachi. And when she did that, when she was forgiven by the Vaishnacharya and Mother's mercy, Lord Chaitanya was very happy, very pleased with Mother Sachi. And he congratulated her. You know, there's many pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's the pastime where Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas, and he leaves home, takes sannyas, and then he wants to go to Vrindavan. Lord Nityananda was with him. He went with Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya left home to take sannyas. And Lord Chaitanya was just so intoxicated, completely in love for Krishna. He didn't really know which way was which, and he just told Lord Nityananda, "Take me to Vrindavan." So they walked for some time. It's a little bit of a long story, but they walked for some time and they came to the Ganges. And Lord Nityananda said, "See, we're so close to Vrindavan. Here's the Yamuna." And Lord Chaitanya thought it was the Yamuna. And he became ecstatic. "We are practically in Vrindavan." They were heading towards Shantipur, actually. Just sort of the other side of Nagarjuna town from Katwa, where Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas. Then, a Vaishnacharya appeared on the river in a boat and said, "Here, I've come to pick you up." And Lord Chaitanya said, "What are you doing in Vrindavan?" And the Vaishnacharya explained everything. And Lord Chaitanya got a little upset with Lord Nityananda. It's all transcendental. So then they went to the Vaishnacharya's house in Shantipur. And they had a big festival. And all the devotees came, and Mother Sachi came. And for the last time, saw Lord Chaitanya. Yes. So, one time, a Vaishnacharya, who's older than Lord Chaitanya by in terms of birth, and who's senior as a devotee in terms of time as a devotee, a Vaishnacharya became frustrated. Oops. Okay. I'll finish with this. And because Lord Chaitanya would always come and offer his obeisances to a Vaishnacharya. And a Vaishnacharya would try to beat him. Who will be the first to go down? But Lord Chaitanya was young. And a Vaishnacharya was quite a bit older. So Lord Chaitanya would always beat him. And then offer some prayers to a Vaishnacharya. And the Vaishnacharya was not happy. He was thinking, "I am the servant of Lord Chaitanya. He shouldn't offer me the obeisances and glorify me and like that. He shouldn't do it. He must stop." But Lord Chaitanya would not stop. So Vaishnacharya thought of a really extraordinary plan to get Lord Chaitanya to take a senior position to him and chastise him. Because of course you only chastise juniors. So he started preaching more or less my about. It's all one. We're all God. Why bother going to the temple because God is everywhere? This sort of idea. And Lord Chaitanya heard this. And first of all, he thought, no. Advaita would never do that. He's the topmost devotee. But then another report, and another report came. And Lord Chaitanya thought, I'm going to go and see what is happening. And he arrived there, well, approaching the house. Advaita came running out. Have you heard the good news? It's all one. Everyone and everything is God. Isn't that wonderful? And Lord Chaitanya couldn't believe it. Are you serious? Well, what do you think is the topmost process? Bhakti? And Advaita Chai said, no, bhakti. It's too emotional and sentimental. You have to do yoga and renounce the world. And you can do a little bhakti, but the main thing is like this. And what you're doing was too much for him. And you know what he did? He physically attacked Advaita Chai. Physically attacked him. And just threw him on the ground and jumped on top of him. And he was punching him and punching him and punching him. And as he was doing that, Advaita Chai was shouting out, Haribol, thank you. And after a little while, Lord Chaitanya understood that actually Acharya is in complete ecstasy. So he stopped. And Advaita Acharya thanked him. Said, thank you so much. You chastised him, which means you've accepted me as a junior. And you've corrected me, which you do with juniors, not with seniors. So thank you so much. It feels so good to be accepted as your devotee. Hare Krishna.
Take any questions?
Well, what about people who are stuck?
I wanted to ask one.
Can we go past 8:30? Or should we really finish at 8:30?
We can go past.
Go a little past? Okay.
I'm trying to understand Advaita Acharya is expansion of Krishna, Mahavishnu. And then at the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. And the two expansions are interacting with each other in the same pastime.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
That Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya are both forms of the Lord.
Yeah.
But they're interacting with each other.
Yeah. And
well, life on the Vishnu Tattva level is much more interesting. you can have a relationship with yourself. And Lord Nityananda is also. Yeah. So it's part of the rasa, part of the nectar, that they can interact with each other in different ways. But Advaita Acharya, Advaita Acharya is also eternally Advaita Acharya, and he's in the role of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya very much. So, but it's just part of the pastimes. The Lord expands, and you may get 2, 3, or 4 even, or even more, forms of the Lord interacting as if they're just separate individuals.
Given the fact that the Lord is all cognizant, are they actually knowing that in that pastime, or is it?
See, they may be under yoga maya. It's quite possible. Because sometimes the Lord is under yoga maya. That's a fact. So now, let me just see here. We are going to say some things about His grace, Bimal Prasad Prabhu. Yes. He was born in 1951. He was a little older than 18 months, I forget exactly. But just a few months older than myself. And he joined Prabhupada's movement in 76. And I'm not exactly sure where that was, but it was in South Africa somewhere. Maybe in Cato Ridge, because we got Cato Ridge right around that time. So he joined the temple. He was doing preaching, book distribution. He received this initiation in 77, and he became Hirpujari at our temple in Cato Ridge. Many of you will not have been there, but Cato Ridge is on the way. On the way to Pietermaritzburg, he acted as temple president. Tulsidas was the president, but then he was sort of transferred to London, although he would move in between South Africa and London. But he didn't function as the temple president for a while, and Bimal acted as temple president for some months, I forget how long, maybe 6 months, something like that. And then actually, I came, would you believe, and took over as temple president, January 1980. And Bimal Prasad, those of you who knew him a little, even just really a little, you would know he was a character. He had a real sense of humor of a particular type. And I remember when I came to take over, and I was there, just arrived like the day before, and he handed things over to me. And he gave me a list of the devotees in the temple. There was, I don't know, maybe 20 or maybe 30 even devotees living in the temple. So he gave me a whole list with comments on each one, just like a sentence on each one. So I was reading through, okay, and I could see that these kind of tongue-in-cheek comments. And the one that I particularly remember was his very brief little sutra describing one devotee called Bhakta Chinky. Chinky was from Pietermaritzburg. And he was a middle-aged man. And he had a drinking problem, even as a devotee. So I didn't know that at that point. And I got this, and here's that, this one's like this and that. And then Bhakta Chinky, the comment, stinks when he drinks. But then I found out it was true. And you know, we're not here to talk about Bhakta Chinky. He didn't last so long in Krishna consciousness. But it just, Bimal's sense of humor was kind of cutting sometimes. So, yeah, he was here with Jerry for some time then, and we were together. I was there every day, he was there every day. And then, when we started the collecting for Radharana, which really began in earnest in about, say, April of 1982, so Bimal became part of the fundraising team. I mean, practically everybody became part of the fundraising team. I mean, actually, literally everybody did. He was not an essential pujari or the president or someone involved in the actual construction of the temple. So we were all out there, and Bhima was out there too. So he sold paintings, these, you know, really extraordinary paintings, not of Krishna. And he sold a lot of paintings. And through his dedicated service during that period, I don't know how much luxury he actually raised, but it was probably a good few hundred thousand rands. He really worked hard, and he raised a lot of luxury for Radharatna. Then as everything was going on, and like sort of maybe halfway through the collecting process, or at some point, he went to India and had the deities made. He was there, and they, you know, didn't just pick some deities out of the shop. He was there as they made the deities, and, you know, going through all the details of the shapes and everything. He really, really got into it. So by the mercy of the Lord Prasad, Radharatna are so beautiful. You know, you can always say they're so beautiful anyway. But still, it was specifically his service to see how they were shaped and that everything was really nice. And then, as I recall, he came back with them. Did he come back with them? He came back with them, yeah. Brought them back to South Africa. Then the temple opened, 1985. And Bimo Prabhu was here for some time. But then after a little while, not long actually, he moved to Mulder's Drift, Johannesburg Temple was in the area just outside Johannesburg called Mulder's Drift. And he was in Pujari there for some time with Mother Jayamalika. He was Bhima Prasad in terms of his services, aptitudes, and what he was into. He was an amazing pujari. He was really deeply, deeply into deity worship, looking after, caring for the deities in very personal ways. That was a very prominent part of his nature as a devotee. And then, in about 86, or maybe it was 87, 86-87, he and another devotee called Paridanya Prabhu and their wives went to start ISKCON in Cape Town. It had already been there sort of on and off a bit before, but then closing down and up and from, say, what, 82 to about 86, there was no center and no programs or anything at all in Cape Town. So they went. And first of all, they got a place down near Wynberg, if you know Cape Town at all. And then they were responsible for us getting our current temple. We just had the 25th anniversary last year, I think September. So they got the Cape Town Temple. At the time it was a quote-unquote private hotel, or more like a flop house, full of Friends of Bhakti Chinki. It was not the same place. Anyway, they took it over, we took it over, bought it, and they renovated it, and they started the university preaching in Cape Town, which is really like the oldest unbroken university program in South Africa. It's been going about 25, 26 years, something like that, two programs a week. So yeah, it's a little bit of a long story, but 94, 95, there was a decision that devotees were not doing service in the, or what to say, devotees who were even part-time doing something other than devotional service, like devotees who had some little business or something going on for money for themselves, that all those devotees should move out of the Nirvana. So at that time, he went to India, 94, 95, and then stayed in India. He came here, he was here a few years ago, just for a visit. Otherwise, he was in India, then he settled later in Australia. What I'd like to do now, those are my recollections, brief recollections. What I'd like to do now, we have actually a tribute, very nice tribute, to Bhikkhu Prasad Prabhu, written by Chimamanda Sundar Prabhu from Johannesburg, who has also been around since those days, and he was there when Bhikkhu got initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 1977. So let me just read his tribute. It's very nice. So my humble tribute to His Grace, Bhimal Prasad Prabhu. It's amazing how we've lost two great soldiers of Srila Prabhupada in such a short time. I was fortunate to be present when Bhimal Prasad Prabhu received initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1977 at the opening of the temple in Cato Ridge. He was one of the few local white body devotees who seriously took up the process of Krishna consciousness in those days when apartheid was at its peak. He had an interesting background in yoga, mysticism, Eastern philosophy, and was well read in many subjects. Tulsidas Prabhu trusted him and accepted him as a confidential aide while he was the president of Cato Ridge, and later he was engaged raising funds for the construction of the Radharana temple. Before settling in Australia, he and his wife served for many years in Mayapur Dham. He was very jovial by nature, and he liked to make everyone laugh. On last Thursday evening, means a week ago, I was informed by Guru Gauranga Prabhu that Bhimal Prasad Prabhu's health had taken a turn for the worst. When I called Bhimal's home on Friday morning, his wife, Mother Lalita, kindly allowed me to speak to Bhimal Prabhu, who had just awoken from his sleep that morning. His voice was very clear, and his thoughts were very focused despite his unbearable, painful condition of pancreatic cancer, amongst other ailments he was suffering from. He told me that he had committed himself to fasting, and he had not eaten for the last 3 days. Amongst many things that he spoke about, he remembered his visit to Durban about 3 years ago, which he enjoyed very much. He said that he was very impressed with the way the yatra was developing, and requested that we make more efforts to develop the African preaching. He told me that Tulsidas, speaking of the Maharaj, had interviewed Basavi, had called him a few days back and wished him well. He inquired about some of the devotees who served with him and requested them to pass his love and obeisances to them. He even remembered my wives, Chabangasana Prabhu's wives, Dahi Vada, which he cooked as part of the Raj Yoga offering in Durban. Apart from cracking a joke or two, we also spoke philosophically, and I mentioned how dependent we are on mercy. He responded by saying that it is absolutely correct, and quoted Srila Prabhupada when he cited Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, quote, "The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as a gentle rain from heaven." Unquote. I said that we could pray for a miracle so that he could make a recovery, and he said that it was not necessary, as he had resigned himself to leaving his body, which was rapidly falling apart. He said that he had lost quite a bit of weight and that he was passing blood. He told me that he was listening to Bhaktivedanta Swami's lectures on dying, titled "Die Before Dying" and "Death Can Be a Perfect Escape." I told him the gates of the spiritual world are wide open to him, and I hope that I can meet him there one day. Our conversation lasted for about 45 minutes, until he was exhausted and unable to speak anymore. He ended the conversation by saying that if I was close to him, he would grab me and squeeze me to his chest. And I responded by saying that if I was near him, I would hold his feet to my head and then smear the dust all over my body. At that point, he ended the conversation by saying, "Dandavas, Dandavas, Dandavas," and we hung out. I spoke to his wife today, which means today, I guess, because he just said it was today. And she told me that he stopped speaking after I spoke to him, and he had become withdrawn completely from that time. When he left his body at 3 a.m. yesterday morning, Australian time, they had him sit up on the bed as he was leaving his body and chanted the Hare Krishna mantra along with Srila Prabhupada chanting on tape. He left facing his deity, Gopal Haldar, who he worshipped for the last 30 years or so. His body was cremated at 3 o'clock today. Australian time. All draped in new raw silk with full tilak, a bag full of dried tulsi, which he had collected over the years, and a Nrisingha Kavacha in his right hand. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank Guru Gauranga Guru for giving him his undivided attention and support, and support to the family at the time of their need. His wife requested if a little plaque could be placed in his remembrance in the garden where he planted some trees years back when he served at the temple. Hare Krishna. Bhimo Prasad Prabhu ki. Bhimo Prasad Prabhu ki. Bhimo Prasad Prabhu ki. Hare Krishna. Titled Remembrances of Bhimo Prasad Prabhu. And it's Maharaj is in Govardhan now, in Vrajmandala. I am recording this message on the departure of my esteemed senior godbrother, His Grace Bhimo Prasad Prabhu, the day after the Sankanchami, which was also Saraswati Puja, The disappeared state of Shiva Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura and the appeared state of Shiva Raghunath Das Goswami. I feel happy that he has returned to Krishna and has taken birth in Vastu City. Krishna's pastime is within this material world. This is his eternal family. Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, Balaram, the gopis and gopas. I can claim to know Bimal Prasad longer than any other member of ISKCON. I clearly remember Bimal Prasad, who was previously known as Robert Dick, coming to the temple in Cato Village in 1976-77. In those days, there was a farm in Cato Ridge called the Aquarium Farm, which was home to many hippies. Dr. Robert lived on this farm and would attend the Sunday feast program. He had long hair and was a South African equivalent of a hippie. He was immediately attracted towards Krishna consciousness. On the Aquarium Farm, he was a vegetarian and he did Hatha Yoga. He soon gave up everything and moved into the Cato Ridge Temple. He showed a keen interest in deity worship and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He received first initiation from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and was the temple secretary for a while. I started the tent campaign in October 1977. On many occasions during 1978, 79, and 80, people would come and stay with me for about 2 or 3 months while we were traveling. We developed a close relationship as we had a similar background and had similar interests. At that time I was worshipping my small brass deities, Sri Shinatai Gaurahari, every day for 2 hours. And he was also attracted towards deity worship. Around that time, he started worshipping Gopal Haldar, his beloved deities, who he continued to worship for the rest of his life. In 1982, the emphasis of the Islam Yatra in South Africa completely changed from preaching to fundraising for the Shishi Radharanath Temple. At that time, we all decided to Johannesburg together with the Buddhist partner, Mahaprasadpuru, to collect funds. It was primarily due to Bimal Prasad's influence that I also joined the fundraising team in mid-1982. Since we were friends, he wanted me to come to Johannesburg. He convinced me to sell paintings to fundraise for Shishi Radharanath. Bimal diligently sold paintings from 1982 to 1985 with Mahaprasadpuru. His favorite spot was the Pick and Pay in the southern suburbs of Johannesburg, and his favorite customers were from the Jewish community. When the Shishi Radharanath Temple opened in 1985, Bimal Prasadpuru was asked to coordinate the publicity and was given a budget car, and again, as far as I can remember, Mahaprasad drove him around. He was very successful in advertising and publicizing the temple opening festival. Towards the late 80s, Bimal Prasad changed his ashram and married the Grace Lalita Prabhu, who was then known as Guru Bani. He spent some time living in Yellowwood Park and then, being inspired by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Sridhar Mayapur. He served there in various capacities along with his good wife. Gradually brought up a family that extended to 5 very beautiful and wonderful daughters. In Mayapur, he stayed at the top of a building, possibly 4 or 5 stories high, which commanded a wonderful view of 3 very auspicious places. He told me that while chanting, he would simultaneously see Shiva Prabhupada Sanadi, Sananda Sukhada Kunj, Bhaktivinoda Thakura's house, and the peak of Yoga Beat, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. Later, he left Sridhar Mayapur and settled in Australia, where he continued to engage in devotional service and guide his family in Krishna consciousness. On numerous occasions during the late 70s and 80s, Bimal Prasad and I would go to Isipingo Beach and other places. He liked snorkeling very much, and I had a proclivity towards swimming. He made friends extremely easily, and everyone liked him. He was the type of person who could speak on any subject for any length of time and had a fine sense of humor. Of course, he was also sarcastic. Just one thing I remember, I just commented, because it was from the time when we were selling paintings, 82 to 85, and we would come back, and occasionally we'd go out for a picnic in Johannesburg or something. So one day, we went out to, I think it was Zoo Lake Park, right?
Know what that is.
Okay, I think it was the Johannesburg. And we had to swim in a swimming pool there. And it was Sunday, and there was lots of people around. And he had his brown thread on, he was walking around. And someone asked him, "What's that string on your body?" And people, you know, just people. He said, "I'm actually a package which escaped from wolves." So he had a fine sense of humor. Of course, he was also sarcastic, but he used it to make philosophical points. If we had met before coming to Krishna consciousness, we would have become close friends, having the same propensity and nature. Still, Srila Prabhupada brought us together in this movement, and we became friends. No doubt, I will miss the presence and association of such a wonderful devotee, His Grace Bimal Prasad Prabhu. The devotees of the South African Yatra should understand that his contribution is invaluable. I can also say that he was like a devotee from birth, being naturally attracted towards Krishna consciousness, having taken first initiation from Srila Prabhupada and second initiation from Srila Prabhupada's godmother, His Holiness Bhakti Pramoda Puri Maharaj. On one occasion, people took me to take darshan of Bhakti Pramoda Puri Maharaj, and I could see that they both shared a wonderful relationship. Although he took second initiation from Puri Maharaj, Bimal Prasad was a devout and loyal member of ISKCON, knowing full well that this would be pleasing to both his spiritual masters, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada Puri Maharaj. Already he's greatly missed, and it has come as a shock that he has departed so quickly. He came to Durban a few years ago, and we all relished his association, and we were planning to bring him again. Unfortunately for us, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had another plan. I am convinced that Bimal Prasad has taken birth in Krishna's pastimes, and he's again associated with this Guru Varga, his elders. All glories to His Grace Bimal Prasad Prabhu. All glories to Bhakti Prabhupada Puri Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
His Grace Bimal Prasad Prabhu ki.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.